and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio station, Carl and Linda Bott. Phone line's here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, the 6th of October. I like to drag it out. 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Jerry's at the helm with what national day is it today, buddy?
Good morning. We got a lot of them. Coffee with a cop day.
Coffee with a what?
Coffee with a cop day.
Okay, we're having that today.
Coffee with a cop.
Yes,
cop. Captain Ron Isley from the Reading Police Department will be joining in here, and we'll offer him a cup of Java. What else? You said there's a lot of them.
Let's see, Coach's Day, Orange Wine Day.
Not okay, that's sure what that is. You're right. Yeah. Okay, we went far. Okay, and then, of course, Linda's here.
Well, good morning, everybody, and let's talk about what we're going to be looking forward to with weather. 60 degrees currently in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have decreasing clouds today with a high of 74 and our overnight lows of 54. Tomorrow calls for mostly cloudy with a high of 73. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with 51. And Friday, looks like we're going to have about 70, mostly sunny. Saturday, get ready, 76, and Sunday, 79. So there you go, under the 80s with our weather forecast. And the weather is brought to you by our friends at Shasta Gas Propane. They are located in Anderson. It's a veteran-owned company where they give discounts to seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, last night at the Reading City Council, they announced four open city hall meetings. One starts next week, and it's going to talk about the proposed land sale of the area around the Civic. So they're going to be all down at the council chambers. They're all going to start at 5:15. And I believe the first one is going to be at next week on the 16th or 17th, but I'll tell you here in a second. The other thing I thought was important for everybody to know today is yesterday, while we were working, you know, very hard in the offices here, or whatever we
call it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember hearing about that.
Whatever we call it.
You kept your cool.
I did. The ladies here in the office, they start yelling. And I'm hearing yelling outside. I'm on the phone with a friend of mine, a close friend of mine. He said, and I said, I got to go. And I go outside, and we have three, maybe four teenagers duking it out right here, crashing into our door, crashing into our windows, falling into my planter and crushing my aloe plants. They're all like 15 or 16, screaming, cursing, and truly amateurs when it comes to fighting.
What time was this?
This was, that's Sue, she's right there. What time was that, Sue?
It was round two.
Round two. Oh, round two-ish. Man. Anyway, one had his hair up on top of his head, like you see five-year-old girls. And the other ones, one had his shirt off and his belly was hanging out. And then the other one was just screeching. And then they were all kind of like hitting each other. I mean, I swear to God, and please, ladies, don't get mad at me, but it looked like a four-year-old, well, it could be like any four-year-olds, maybe five-year-olds, fighting.
All right, so let's get to the point. You got a good visual there, okay?
But here's my thing. I'm calling 911 because I know I'm crashing through the window.
Yeah.
Somehow me being held responsible for it. And I should have not called 911. I should have videoed it.
Mm.
And then I could have put it on Facebook. I said, do you know who these little clowns are that are slapping at each other and calling it a fight? And then when Diane says, you know, they're cursing, Diane says, well, you shouldn't say that. And you shouldn't talk like that. And this guy turns around and he goes, yo, F you.
To her?
To her. And at that point,
did
that point,
did it click?
Yeah.
Did something click and you had to hold on?
It clicked. And meanwhile, the 911 operators is, I love these guys. You know, they've got a hard job. Okay, I said, there's four teenagers here fighting, crashing into our stuff. And he goes, okay, location. And I said, 1326 Market Street. In your name, Carl Bott. Okay, are they armed? No, I don't think so. And
you didn't know if one had a knife.
Well, I just said, I don't think they're
could
armed.
Could have been in a boot.
Says, and then about that time, they stopped.
Oh. But meanwhile, your adrenaline didn't.
Well,
I heard about it later.
But I, you know, and they're... And I said, okay, they stop fighting, but they're walking toward the Hammer Street, from the hearth and all that. And they're still yelling and screaming and pushing. And then he said something else to me, and I went.
Did you hear him at that point?
At that point, I just said, no, I'm talking about the 911 guy. And I went, hey, I've given you all the information I know. Well, that's the last we heard of it. So maybe when I said they'd stop fighting. Or maybe the police went down there and saw all three of them. They're all together and did something. But I'm going to ask Captain Ron Isley today. So, Ron, if you're listening right now, it might be a good time to check. But that happened right out in front. But I swear to God, I shouldn't have called 911. I should have videoed it, put it on Facebook, and they'd have been so embarrassed.
We don't. No. Oh yeah.
Oh you my know, God, we'd look like that.
Or proud. So you don't want to fuel it.
Anyway,
and that's exactly what we're going to be talking a lot about that this morning.
It was a level of domestic violence that I've never seen before.
We have our experts
in
on.
In fact, I think two of them probably went down to one safe place.
To be protected from
the third one.
Yeah, we've got some incredible guests on today to talk about some of the things that are going on here. Give you more of an inside of the experts that I have here right here in Shasta County. I'm really looking forward to hearing this information and having these people share it with our listeners. But we do also, while we go on this morning, and before we take this first break, I do want to tell you that we here this morning, good morning on this Wednesday, again, like it's the 6th of October, we do have passes for those listening that really like the haunted house at Hawes. It's called the Screaming Haunt Pass. And then we have two general admission tickets, which is really cool because that's 17 acres of pumpkins, roller coasters, trail rides, pony rides, bumper cars, giant jumping pillow, go-karts, and many other attractions. So this is something that's open to you and your family. You can go, and, of course, if you've got kids or you want to be thrilled, if you like the – I haven't been in a haunted house in so long because I don't like to be scared. I grew up with a torturous brother who would jump at me at all levels when I was least expecting it, and I think I can still recall it in my system today.
Do you forget where we spent Thursday night? You don't think that was a haunted? That wasn't haunted?
I had dreams about a haunted house last night, by the way. Anyway, 605-4567. I'll segue into that. 605-4567.
Okay, two tickets to the Hawes Farm if you just want to go out and see the pumpkins and do all that. Plus, we have it's the same package. Plus two tickets to go into the haunted mansion they have out there or whatever they do.
And there's the caller.
There you go. And so it's a set of four tickets.
Yeah.
And now we're going to take a break before we even get to our first guest.
Well,
we're from One Safe Place. Let's introduce them. Katie Minoletti.
Yeah.
Who
Good
heads
morning.
Up One Safe Place?
Our executive director.
You know what? You're such a
bright
cheerful.
Spot.
Yes.
Yeah. And Dr. Sean Dugan, who is an adult and pediatric forensic examiner and a specialist. There's so many things that we're going to get into this morning that are very, very, very interesting in traumatic brain injury. They've started the strangulation center. He specializes in all over the country. We are leading here in Reading. So somebody goes, oh, Reading? Well, this is another one of those layers that we need to stay tuned so you can hear about it. But first of all, let's talk about how sleep is so important. And you guys, you know that you hear us talk about our sleep number bed because we live it, we breathe it, we talk about it because during these times that the one thing that you can help with any kind of trauma or let's say the weather's changing or just what we're going through with a society and as a world, your sleep. How do you get into a place that you can rest your body so that you can be positive for the next day or take on whatever that's going to be? And that's a good sleep. So you have to invest in that. And what that looks like and what that is for you. So I always play with my sleep number setting. And last night my sleep number setting was 25, but I use various degrees of what I want to sleep with or sleep on. And that's the beautiful thing about the dual controls. So what about you, Carl?
May I?
Yeah. Jump in.
Hey, the thing about it is we've had our bed for 8-9 years. I can't remember now, but it's the only place that you truly have control of your own self. You know, there's so much, you know, kids fighting out in front, all these things going on. And since society doesn't like me jumping into the middle of it just to kind of bring back the old days, but I can control my sleep number. My sleep number set in last night was 40. And right now you can get proven quality sleep. It's life-changing sleep. Save up to $800 on a Sleep Number 360 smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time down at the Target Shopping Center and our Sleep Number store. Great people down there. Remember, that's subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details. 7:15 in the morning, and we will be right back with One Safe Place.
Listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
Play our pro football season picks promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. It's a fun, easy, and fully automated pick'em style football promotion. Simply swipe your River Club card, make your picks, and collect a receipt with your own weekly choices. Plus, prior week results and year-to-date standings. Top weekly picks win a share of $500. Top season final winners win a share of $5,000. For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Football is better at the river.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 9th at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. There will be three different waves of activity. The first is a race wave for those who are competitive, a second wave, a run wave for those who like to run for fun, and a third wave, a walk wave for those who prefer a leisurely stroll. Whether you like to run or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk for only $35 for the run and $25 for the walk at carenet.reading.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center here in Reading. Once you sign up online, you'll receive a link to create your own fundraising page where you can also draw support from those who are unable to attend. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus following the race for participants. It's a great way to start your day with the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. Sign up online today at carenet.reading.org.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
And good morning to our morning show here on Wednesday, the 6th, at 60 degrees in the downtown. If you're stepping outside, you know, it's jacket weather. We love it. Going to be 74 today and overnight lows of 54. Looking forward to our guest this morning.
This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Community-oriented, the only community-owned bank or the locally-owned bank around here anymore. And these days of big business taking over smaller businesses, the Cornerstone Community Bank has been moving local dreams forward since the day they started. And next Wednesday, in fact, a week from today, we're going to have Jeff Fink on, the CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank. He's going to talk about the new branch opening up down in Anderson. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com.
With us this morning, our guest, Dr. Sean Dugan, who is an adult and pediatric forensic examiner, and Katie Minoletti, who is the executive director of One Safe Place. Good morning.
Good morning.
Both of you. Now, Katie, I'm thinking that you brought Sean in this morning, or Dr. Dugan, and we're here this morning to highlight and talk about something very interesting that we have happening right here in Reading, and that's this expertise in nationwide forensic leading the study of what happens with strangulation. And you're going to be teaching a clinic this weekend.
So I'll be teaching the statewide training. It's actually open to the whole country. And it'll be at Shasta Regional Medical Center. It'll actually be October 25th through 28th. And so we're recruiting nurses, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, MDs, DOs, so pretty much RN and above.
To understand what looks like, what if somebody doesn't come forth and say, oh, I was what if they don't even know? You know, because we see a typical, like a movie of what a strangulation is. But what, I know this is very odd to talk about as we first thing in the morning, but it's something that's very in your life every day. You're dealing with it. You're going, you're doing, you're also doing traumatic brain injury. You're leading national organizations with this information. So it's really important that as we're moving with the day, that this is something that transpires at One Safe Place. And here in Shasta County and across our country, it's not something to sweep under the carpet. It's very real.
Yep, that's correct. Very real. In fact, I mean, 1 in 3 women at some point in their lives had violence. I mean, 1 in 3. It's incredible, right? I mean, that's a huge amount of the population. You figure if, let's say about half the population is male, female, right? So half the population is female. A third of that half are going to end up with violence.
Well, what's your definition of violence?
So physical violence, domestic violence. There's
pushing.
Also emotional pushing, yep, et cetera. Somebody,
hair pulling?
Yep. Somebody who's just laying a hand or, you know, inflicting injury, inflicting violence.
Grabbing
on their partner.
An arm?
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. What if it's to save their lives?
What's that?
What if it's to save their lives?
Oh, that might be a little different.
Okay, well, got it. So the definition of it's physical violence is any type of physical attack.
Correct.
No matter how, even though that grabbing an arm may not be, I mean, it's. I think it's more than that. I think it'd be grabbing an arm and shaking or something like that, but maybe not.
Usually I like to think of it as an unwanted or aggressive form of touching,
okay.
That is to control or harm.
Oh, but, okay. Yeah. No, see, I can go with that one.
Okay,
but let's not minimize it, though. I mean, we know that
like children,
75% of DV victims have head injury. 75% have
what?
A traumatic brain injury.
What's
domestic violence.
Yeah, domestic violence.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So 75%, half of them are strangled. I mean, so it's not like grab and pinch, and it's like
I remember a couple years ago when One Safe Place started. Went to a seminar.
In Oklahoma or something.
And came back, and Angela said, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And strangulation is like is that final stage before death. I mean, I don't mean it like that. Before a real, I'm going to kill you assault. And that's, you know, it's that they is it, maybe I'm wrong. Is that right? When they moved up to strangulation, they're.
Yeah, they call it the last warning shot. I mean, there's data they looked into for cop killers, right? People who, you know, shoot or kill other police officers, and a majority of them have a history of domestic violence and or strangulation. There's even some studies we're doing right now looking into mass shooters, and many of them have a history of domestic violence or strangulation.
Okay,
so, you
interesting.
Know, it really is an escalation.
So you are, let's talk a little bit about Dr. Dugan here. If you have questions, too, you may want to give us a call at 605-4567 because he is a leading expert in forensics. And so let's talk a little bit about your history and how you got into the specialty.
Sure. I'll never forget the first case, if you will, that brought me into this first patient. I was actually at that time, I was just a regular pediatrician and,
just a regular pediatrician.
Yeah.
That's huge.
So I was, you know, at that time I was taking a lot of work-ins, and so one of my colleagues called out sick. And so I was at Chesapeake Health Center, I still am, and I took a work-in, and I didn't really know what I was taking. I said, yeah, I'll just take this work-in. And I started reviewing the chart, I examined the patient, and I go, this is abusive head trauma. I mean, this is a baby who has abusive head trauma. How did this get missed? How did this ball get dropped? And so I reported it. Ended up, long story short, you know, it went through the court system both on the civil end and through the criminal end. And on the civil end, in terms of custody, they ended up, you know, basically, you know, pleading to it. But I was approached by the prosecutor at the time, and she had told me that medical had just bungled it so badly that they couldn't prosecute it. And so I realized at that time there was nobody in this, you know, area that specialized in child abuse. The nearest one was, you know, 2.5-3 hours south. And, I mean, they're serving a community with multiple million people. I mean, you know, you can't expect them to just take all our cases. And so I ended up going and getting some additional forensic training and ended up taking over the pediatric sexual assault program at Chesapeake Health Center. And from at that time, they didn't have anybody taking call at night. So nighttime they would go to the ER and see the adult examiners. But they didn't have a pediatric examiner at night. So from day one, I just said, you know what, I'm going to be on call. You know, this needs to happen. This is a necessary thing. And so then that led me to write what's called the SCAN protocol or SCAN policy, suspected child abuse or neglect policy, which I didn't invent. They have policies like that across the country. But in Reading, we were so far behind the times, we didn't have anything like that. And so I wrote this policy, and it got implemented at all the hospitals in the North State, several of the clinics up here, too. And that's when we became, you know, a real, you know, full child abuse program, right? We did child abuse, we did sexual assault, et cetera. And I remember that time it was just myself, and I, first 3 days into the policy, I had 4 consults. And I remember telling my wife, like, what did I get myself into? And so since then, I built a team, and I'm building a team. I want to build an army of examiners up here, you know, people that I'm just going to download my brain into, basically, nurses, NPPAs, MDDOs. And so I've recruited several over the years, and now we're doing a big training coming up the end of October. So if you're listening to this and you feel that passion, you know, you don't have to be full-time. Part-time, when we work with families, we all have families on this team. And so, you know, we're very family-oriented. We're very conscious of people's schedules. But, you know, we're going to build this up so that every hospital, you know, every medical facility we can, we'll have an examiner at. So.
Well, I think that's so noble. But I want to, if we take a minute here before we take our break, Katie Minoletti, who is the executive director of One Safe Place, welcome again, Katie. So we'll bring you back in here.
Thank you.
Because the first thing, and I'm just kind of flying off here, I didn't even look over Carl to see if you were going to take a breath, and I want to just ask this question. We're in the middle of a crisis with COVID and masking and people being off of work, and we don't have children at home, but it just, we have a business, so I can't imagine what it must be like with the stress of families with children at home and people not maybe having the best parenting skills, or they grew up with it, what it is to lash out. What are you seeing? Are the numbers, have the numbers increased dramatically, or where are we?
Linda, not only have the numbers increased, but the severity of the abuse that we're seeing is extreme. So just like Dr. Dugan was explaining, many more strangulation cases are coming to light, which is terrifying because we know that strangulation has great effects on folks that even survive it. So because it's October and it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I thought, you know, Dr. Dugan would be the perfect person to speak about this pandemic that we're having in our own county.
Well, it is, because I don't know Sean. And even though we lived in the same state together, Hawaii, Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you lived?
Yep.
What schools did you go to?
Graduate Kaiser High School, actually.
Oh, okay.
And,
got it.
University of Hawaii.
Okay. The, I wouldn't know him because he was just a civilian at the time. But this is important. And I'm so glad you brought Dr. Dugan in, because somebody that took it upon themselves to learn about this and now is our, he's our expert in Northern California.
And plus TBI.
Plus, yes, on traumatic brain injury, but then the things that he has done is also going nationwide. And we're going to talk about that when we get back. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You know, Jeff Wurst, nobody knows better about, knows anything more or could be any better than repairing a windshield, whether it's a little bitty chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. That's Jeff Wurst. He fixed a crack in my windshield 14 years ago, and you still can't see it. He guarantees it for life, my friends. Get a free inspection and analysis. Give them a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 South Market Street. That's Crackmaster Windshield Repair. It's a veteran-owned business. We'll be right back.
Bay's fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nursery is open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Tico Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Yeah, welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. And State Granite, Linda, is bringing us this.
Yeah, State Granite. Mike, if you're listening, hey. You know, turn the key over to Mike. We were gone on vacation. He came in. He kept texting me pictures. What do you think? I said, leave me alone. Just do it. You're great. I know. I've seen his work. He's fantastic. He's trustworthy. He's got a great eye for detail. He's a true artist. If you're looking to do your kitchen or your bathroom or anything that has to do with stone or granite or fire pits or whatever, this guy is the guy. Give him a call at 241-STONE. That's Estate Granite.
And we're here with Katie Minoletti, who heads up One Safe Place, and Dr. Sean Dugan. Now, we know Katie, but this is the first time we've met Sean, and who is an pediatric forensic physician, which is, I mean, it's the same except when you have to do forensics. What is forensics?
So it's an extra level of training. And so I've had extensive training. I'm actually now the trainer, so I train other people how to do it. But basically what it is we are specialized in evaluating patients with, you know, injuries, so accidental or inflicted. And so that's what our job is, and we have specialized training in that regard.
Let's get into traumatic brain injury. This is one that's near and dear to my heart. A lot of Marines came home with that, in combat, or, you know, a Hummer that was up-armored, which they were totally their center of gravity totally changed. And so we'd flip those, and the people inside get injured, or from IEDs going off, or just combat. The traumatic brain injury I had not even heard of until my last tour. Mm-hmm. And I was asked if I'd been knocked out or things like that. And I hadn't been knocked out in my last tour. But it became a big thing. What is traumatic brain injury?
So the definition is actually really straightforward. It's any disruption in the normal function of the brain caused by an inflicted injury, an external force, either to the head or to the neck.
That could happen in a car accident.
Car accident, somebody hits you on the head, you fall and hit your head on the ground, take a bullet to the brain, somebody strangles you. All those things can cause traumatic brain injury.
Motorcycle accidents, yep. Anything. I mean, it could be, kids can get it.
Right.
How does the forensics work with, do you take x-rays? How do you decipher to put the term on what that looks like?
See, it's all about the mechanism. It's all about taking a really detailed history, which is why it's something that, you know, primary care providers, forensic medical examiners, even ER physicians, et cetera, are able to do in a setting where they're in front of a patient and they have that time to talk to them. But it's very specific. You have a mechanism, and then you have an abnormal function of the brain afterwards, altered level of consciousness or unconsciousness or a memory gap, those types of things. And so, for example, you know, if a patient says, I was in a car accident and I hit my head on the steering wheel, and the next thing I know, I woke up in the ER, right? That's a traumatic brain injury. That's an abnormal dysfunction of the brain's function.
And usually if you've had a traumatic brain injury and then it's deemed so, how afterwards, what are the symptoms? Correct.
You can have chronic neurological symptoms. Even your risk of seizures goes up for the first 5 years. And so, you know, there's a lot. The thing I see the most in our strangulation clinic is memory problems. Because strangulation, right, obstruction of blood flow to and from the brain can cause somebody to lose consciousness. When they lose consciousness, for every second they're out, they lose about 32,000 neurons per second. 32,000 brain cells. Now remember, these are brain cells you're born with, right? These are cells that are there at the beginning and there with you at the end, unless you lose them along the way.
So for every minute,
second, someone's unconscious. Yep. after a strangulation.
Football accident.
Well, how many?
Not blunt force head injury. So not a hit to the head, but strangulation. So when somebody
So the
blood, lay public says choking.
The oxygen cut off from your brain.
Correct.
So that's why in 3 minutes you're dead.
Yeah, actually less than that. I review videos. I don't recommend public do it. That's one of the darker sides of my job. But I watched a video of a man who was strangled actually out of Las Vegas, and he dies within 1 minute and 12 seconds. I mean, full on, they're trying to save his life. They're trying to, you know,
bring
him
back. But that's unusual, though.
No.
1 minute, isn't it?
No, 1 to 2 minutes is actually the standard. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So
well,
that's changed because we've always said, you know, 3 minutes loss of air.
Yeah, they used to say that. Yeah. And forensic pathologists, you know, would argue about this in literature for the last, you know, 100, 130 years.
Uh-huh.
But with recent, you know, videos and developments, et cetera, some people might be listening, might be thinking of George Floyd. That's a different situation because it wasn't all strangulation, right? It was, you know, pressure on the back, pressure on the neck. It's called, you know, mechanical asphyxiation is the medical term. So you're obstructing blood flow and airflow. But in strangulation, you don't have any reserves, right? For example, if I hold my breath, right, take mm-hmm. a deep breath and hold it, I have reserves. I have blood being pumped to my brain
right.
from my body. So the oxygen level, the oxygen bank, if you will, is bigger.
Right.
But in strangulation, all you have is your head. And it makes sense if you think about it. Our brains are amazing, right? I mean, right now as we're speaking, our hippocampus is pulling information.
I love
and storing it.
I think our bodies are the biggest miracle on the planet.
Let's talk about then one of the holds that they teach police is a carotid hold,
mm-hmm.
and what that does is it cuts the oxygen off. You know, for somebody that's violent, until they, until they lose consciousness, at which point they release that. Is that dangerous?
You know, I'm very much a big fan of staying in my lane, and I'm not a police officer.
Well, I'm going to ask Captain Iceland because this may be one. I know they've done away with the chokehold, but the carotid hold I think is something the police use when it comes at one of those last resorts to get somebody under control. But I'm going to ask Captain Iceland.
Well, we were, you know, Bruce Lee and some of these things that they'll teach that how to if you're in danger with the opponent. But I don't know. We'll have to ask about that today. But anyway, we're here talking about with
strangulation.
Strangulation and our forensic examiner who's like leading the nation. Here in Reading. So we're so happy to have you and really great work there, Katie Minoletti, as well as just, you know, doing great things in our community to be able to have this kind of expertise.
We're here, you know, Dr. Sean Dugan, of course, Katie. Sean, you also are doing things with the military. Or that you use it as an example. Because the information you're putting out, other medical organizations are picking this up.
That's correct.
And you used it as an example, and I was kind of like not paying attention because we're getting ready to start. But something happens on a Navy base in Florida, and they use your
protocol.
Your protocols?
Yes, correct.
What was that?
So when I wrote this assessment called the Shasta, and it's based on other assessments for strangulation, but with this assessment, it's very systems-based, meaning – you know, we go through the mechanism one step at a time rather than just ask a bunch of random symptoms, right, on a checklist. And so it's very mechanism specific. And so I wrote this with the intention of training actually nurses nationwide because the majority of the people that do forensic medicine are nurses. I mean, docs like me are a rare breed. We're far outnumbered by the nurses, far outnumbered by nurse practitioners and physician assistants. I'd like to change that, but it's just the facts of the facts. I can't wave a wand and, you know, spawn, you know, 400 physicians across the country. And so I wrote that with a nurse in mind of how, you know, he or she could go through this symptom screening tool and use this to screen for traumatic brain injury. And so I worked with some colleagues of mine, nurses actually, who are in the military. They've implemented this into the assessments they're doing on bases for domestic violence victims because the military has done a great job with assessing TBI in recent years for veterans, for combat-related injuries. But there isn't a lot of resources available yet for domestic violence victims or domestic violence patients. And so if a patient presents on a military base to a hospital, they don't have that same access to resources that, say, somebody who went to a war and was hit in the head or strangled by their opponent.
Well, that's what we do. There's so much, I hate to say it, but there are so many advances in medicine because of war. How to keep people alive, meatball surgery where they can do things to keep somebody alive that 10 years ago they'd have been dead. Stabilizing and all this. So yeah, we're really good at what we do. But then when you get into the domestic violence portion of it, and you know, obviously since military is a microcosm of our society, there's going to be domestic violence. So I can understand that. Our physicians during peacetime would go to L.A. out of Camp Pendleton to work in emergency rooms there, because that's the only place they'd be seeing gunshot wounds, stab wounds, car wrecks, where they'd have to work like that. Katie, when we get back, a lot of the big events that we have planned for One Safe Place and to raise funds have been canceled. How can people help when we get back from this?
We're going to talk. Let's talk about the body. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Going to go pick up my watch today and some jewelry that's been fixed. Looking forward to it. That's where we drop our stuff off and get our special goodies. 2225 Hilltop Drive. That's Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back here on KCNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM. This is your talk radio.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of years without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest. I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up! Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke contacts, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Free Fire Radio is on 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday. Our guest at 8 o'clock will be Captain Ron Isley of the Reading Police Department. And our guests today are Katie Menaletti, who heads up One Safe Place, and Dr. Sean Dugan, who is a forensic pediatric and adult. And he explained
forensic.
He explained that's a, you know, it's special training, and his expertise has become in the strangulation side of it. But Katie, you had to cancel our big soiree.
We did,
and because of COVID
gathering at that time in September.
Yeah,
it's been really hard on our fundraisers for the last year and a half. So we're really relying on donations at this point of money, but also of toiletry, hygiene products, you know, clothes, all of those types of things. And we are definitely gearing up for the crab feed in February. That is our biggest fundraiser that we absolutely have to have every year to keep our doors open.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that, but it has been really, really hard on our fund campaigns.
All right.
I tell you what, the crab feed.
February what?
It is the first Saturday in February.
Okay.
Now, let's just talk about that for a second. I'm sorry. My very first crab feed I ever went to was right here in Redding, California.
For One Safe Place.
It's so much fun.
And we've been associated with it, and we've helped with it. I've been up and seen it.
You've donated to it.
I mean, everything you can imagine. I cannot tell you. You know, people, we need to, yes, COVID. However, it's outside, kind of. It's inside, you know, big open barn. And this is a great time. And this is a chance to help One Safe Place, because it has been a tough year. And the needs do not go away. And like you said, if you can go out and buy toiletries, I don't know if the little carry sizes or just the big ones, head on down to the dollar store and spend $20 down there. You can help a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And clothing, you know, everybody's, you know, you're running clothing down to Goodwill. Well, if it's good clothing, it's clean, you can deliver it down to One Safe Place.
As well as
children's stuff.
Yeah, I would think that would be the
diapers.
Big need. Yeah.
Diapers. Right. You need diapers. And
well,
stuff
we
like
have
that.
We have a wish list on our website that details exactly what we need from any, you know, given moment.
Wonderful. Okay.
And usually new or gently used items are preferred.
Mm-hmm.
Linda will clean out her closet. She's probably got stuff in there.
When I say clean it out, I have some gently used, like maybe worn once, which is great for women. But anyway, so people talk about you have a wish list.
We do. And I think something that some of our community members might not realize is that we help a lot of folks start over and get into a brand new home. But many times they have no furniture. They have no linens. They have no mattress or couch. And so if anyone is thinking about having a yard sale or an estate sale or just getting rid of that old couch in the den that they very rarely use, that would be something that they might be able to
donate. Do you all pick up, or do they have to be delivered?
Right now, we really don't have the resources to pick up, unless we have a volunteer help us out, and we're in dire need of volunteers at the moment.
Right. Well, let's talk about that. How do you volunteer for One Safe Place?
You would go to our website and fill out the volunteer application form, or you just give us a ring at 244-0118 and tell us that you're interested. There's a lot of different opportunities, from working in our garden, which is great for our residents to be able to, you know, get strawberries and fresh vegetables and stuff out of. And then there's also opportunities working with clients, cleaning, doing clerical work, going to court, sitting with our clients when they're going through a restraining order process. So there's lots of different opportunities.
Okay. Sean, Dr. Sean Dugan with us. Sean, what do you want to tell people? I mean, one of the things is Katie's not going to be able to see all these people you're not going to be seeing all these people that need help. What do you tell the public to kind of be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I mean, just realizing how common this problem is for the public. And so, I mean, just like we were talking before the break here, you know, the literature, medical literature is very clear. You know, one in three women at some point in their life are exposed to violence. The number's pretty high for men, too, and for children as well. I mean, that's a huge amount of the population when you think about it. And of that one-third, up to three-quarters end up with a traumatic brain injury in that time period, in that relationship that's, you know, having a lot of violence. Half of them have repetitive TBI, you know, repetitive brain injuries. And so, you know, they have the chronic neurological symptoms associated with that. So it's a common problem. I like to draw a comparison to that, if you let me, to heart disease, okay? There's a study out of the New England Journal of Medicine, 2012, that looked at the risk of heart disease for women age 55. It was their risk for developing by 80. And if you were in a low-risk group, it was 1 in 15. So low-risk group, 1 in 15 chance by the time you hit 80. If you're female, you end up with heart disease. But even if you had two risk factors, you know, two big risk factors, it was still only 1 in 5. And so I want to draw this comparison for the public to understand. Violence is 1 in 3. Heart disease, the number one killer of women, kills 1 in 5 women, 1 in 5. I mean, that should just be like, wow. Violence affects more women than heart disease. That's incredible. Yet, if you go to a hospital, if you go somewhere to get treatment, the hospitals have the, you know, heart disease stuff nailed down, right? You walk into the hospital, I got chest pain, I can't breathe. They know what to do, right? They got a team involved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. How many hospitals have a team equipped when someone walks in who's a patient who's experienced violence, right? Incredible.
It's got to be really obvious violence, you know, then they can take care of them also. But all the indications. But how does a neighbor, okay, I'm in, you know, I know, what would I notice? Would I notice anything?
You probably won't. A lot of times it's hidden. You know, a lot of times it's hidden, or, you know, people make excuses for it. And so, but a lot of times it's just common sense stuff, right? It's just very kind of common sense. And I think that's where maybe Katie's role comes in more, is just, you know, giving that patient the resources they need. Because we know it's hard to leave a relationship with someone. There's a biological response called a trauma bond. And it's something that every human being has. And it's, in our field, we hear it all the time, you know, the lay people, I would just get up and leave if somebody was hitting me, right? And it's not that straightforward. There's
right.
a biological bond between people. It's at the cellular level. And so you can't just get up and go. You can't just leave. I mean, it's physically you're being prevented by your body's biochemistry.
Now, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
You know, because they say it takes seven times. It used to be, you know, Angela and I discussed this one time. She says, it depends. It depends on the person. You know, one time is all it takes. And other people, though, you're right. They have to go back. And we've had horrible cases of that, which is one why we have this new, beautiful facility. Not so new anymore, but this beautiful facility. Because of that happened that time, and it led to the deaths of a woman and her two children.
Well, we're experiencing, and I would like to hear that from Katie, you know, what has transpired since this shutdown? You know, we can just see on Facebook the craziness with this happening with this social media and the news. It's very hard to not have it see through with the negativity, which then affects the brain, that affects the mood, that affects the body. Can't move, so that means you're sheltered in. What kind of statistics, roughly, are we looking at since the COVID to the last 2 years with the domestic violence?
Well, in the last year, there were about 9,000 calls to national domestic violence hotlines, and that has increased during the pandemic. We're seeing a lot more folks who are isolated. Even if they're not kept in their home all day long, they might not have the job that they used to go to or the church group that they used to go to where they would have an outlet to talk to friends and family about what's going on, or where those friends or neighbors could pick up on the warning signs and talk with them and give them support. So they're calling hotlines more often, which is a good thing also. We're here to help, and our hotline number is 530-244-0117 or 244-SAFE. And I would encourage anyone, even if you are not intimately involved in the violence, if you are a friend, a colleague, a coworker, to give us a call and brainstorm with us, with one of our trained advocates as to maybe how you can support that person.
We have a friend that having dinner one night, got a phone call. She was one of your volunteers, and for people that needed help then.
She went through extensive training to become qualified.
You trained them to do that.
To be able to be on that hotline.
And if you have time, you may think, you know what, you may be saving a life out there. if somebody calls you and they are in trouble, how you can vector them into a place where they're safe. Like you said, a woman came in the other night covered in blood and was afraid to go to the hospital because she knew her husband would be down there waiting.
Right.
So then you had to, you know, sneak her into the hospital. You know,
and do whatever you have to do.
Whatever you have to do. Katie, thank you so much for what One Safe Place does for our community.
For leading
thank
a
you.
Great organization. And for our Dr. Sean Dugan, our forensic examiner specialist, leading the country in some interesting things. We need more time with you to also go
we're gonna
through.
Probably, but we need your contact information, if you don't mind, and bring you back in again because there's other questions, too.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us. And when we come back after the news, we're going to have Captain Ron Isley from the Reading Police Department.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Opposition by a few key Democrats as well. Negotiations on a somewhat smaller package continue, with the president acknowledging he'll have to settle for something less. As communist China continues to make threatening moves toward Taiwan, sending a record number of military jets into the island's airspace in recent days, President Biden's national security advisor is about to hold talks with China's top diplomats.
At a time of heightened tensions between the world's two largest economies, national security advisor Jake Sullivan will meet with China's top diplomat in Zurich, Switzerland. The White House said the talks will follow through on a pledge by both President Biden and Chinese President Xi to boost communication. It will be Sullivan's first face-to-face meeting with Yang since acrimonious exchanges between the two in Alaska back in March. Greg Clugston, Washington.
How different things might have been. Scholar and author Victor Davis Hanson on where America might have been had President Trump won a second term.
For all of Trump's foibles, by 2020, say January, if you and I were having this discussion, we would say the border is finally closed. It's legal, meritocratic, diverse, and limited immigration. And we would say that abroad, we have restored deterrence without a need for optional military major engagements.
Hanson, a Hoover Institution senior fellow, talking with the Salem Radio Network about his new book, The Dying Citizen. Under a Biden administration proposal, transactions involving any bank account holding at least $600 would have to be reported to the IRS, and there is some pushback on that from some members of Congress. Wall Street, the Dow down 264 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Pounds and pounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our cat mama, she's 10 years old. She has dandruff and an oily coat.
I have two cats, Dixie and Daisy. Daisy sheds like crazy.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
DINOVITE.com.
I just tried this wonderful Catalicious Dynavite for cats, and my cat has been on it for 2 weeks. She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore. It is just the best.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog. To introduce my cat to Dynavite, I took the advice from Dynavite and put their food on top of just a scoop in the bowl just to get them used to it, because I know if I even switch one little thing, they put their nose up to it. There was not one problem.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Leaked documents confirm that for years, Lebanon's politicians and bankers have stowed wealth in offshore tax havens, using it to buy luxury properties.
Some of the newly outed holders of offshore accounts belong to the same ruling elite, that's being blamed for derailing the lives of ordinary Lebanese, who've lost access to savings and now struggle to get basic supplies. This fresh data is a galling revelation for many caught up in one of the world's worst economic meltdowns in decades. The documents, named the Pandora Papers, expose the offshore secrets of wealthy elites from more than 200 countries and territories. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Ukraine's Holocaust Memorial Center releasing the names of 159 Nazi SS troops who took part in the killing of Jews 80 years ago during a massacre in Ukraine. News and analysis at townhall.com.
A trial has begun to fix damages owed by the Air Force to survivors and families of those killed in a 2017 mass shooting at a Texas church.
U.S. District Judge Xavier Rodriguez began to hear testimony in the damages phase of the case, which is expected to last 2 weeks. He ruled in July that the Air Force is partially liable because it failed to register in a national database gunman Devin Patrick Kelly's assault conviction from his time in the Air Force. Doing so might have prevented him from buying the guns he used to kill 26 people and wound 22 others at the Sutherland Springs Church. Keith Peters reporting.
568,000 private sector jobs added last month. That's according to payroll processor ADP. The largest gain since June, and it's far better than the 425,000 jobs predicted by economists polled by the Wall Street Journal. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike?
Leslie,
guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It is the 6th of October, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Jared's at the helm. Good morning, Jared. We found out that today is Coffee with a Cop Day. So here we are with our cop. Linda's running around putting a top on it for you, so that
I thought I broke a rule here in the studio. And
well, the rule,
I needed a toaster or something.
No, the only rule here is that we have to put tops on beverages because I've never seen a guest do it. But
I've tried my computer once.
Yeah, I've not.
Bottled water.
Good morning, Jared.
Good morning. Actually, on your 10-year anniversary, I remember someone spilled wine.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wine or water?
Wine.
You can drink whatever. You can drink whatever you want in the studio. We're okay with that, but just have a cover on it because things do get fried. Hey, decreasing clouds with a high of 74 tonight, overnight lows of 54. Tomorrow calls for mostly cloudy with a high of 73, overnight lows of 51. Friday mostly sunny with 70. Friday night, cloudy again with 49. Saturday, sunny, beautiful day, 76. And Sunday will be sunny as well with 79. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And we are giving away another set of tickets, general admission to the historic Haas Farms, which is 17 acres of pumpkins to pick, roller coaster train rides, pony rides, bumper cars. Really a lot of fun. You've got all the way until October 31st, which is they've got Heroes Weekend. Anyway, this is the fall season pass, and along with that, we have the Screaming Haunt Pass. So that's a whole separate entrance. So we've tickets. We're going to give that away to a caller at 605-4567.
Let me explain now. It's fall fun with family night every Thursday, and that features the go-karts and bumper cars, pony rides, blah, blah, blah. All haunted attractions are open every Friday and Saturday at Haas Farms. And that's, of course, at 6564 Deschutes Road in Anderson. You can get tickets available at the gate or online at haasfarms.com. So these are going to be, I haven't been to one of those haunted things in a long time.
I think I went a long time ago.
It's been a long time.
I think in Sacramento there was a huge
I've been in scary houses before. anyway. Hey, and today is our first Monday, or first Wednesday of the month, which means the Reading Police Department. And with me is Captain Ron Isley. Last time you were on, you were Lieutenant Ron Isley.
Well, congratulations. That was.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Appreciate that. He got a round of applause the other day. And I'll just say, full disclosure, that Ron's a former Marine and works with me, and I work with him on our annual Marine Shasta Corps? Marines, Marine Corps ball, which unfortunately we had to cancel that, but we're still having a birthday celebration on the 10th. It's going to be at the Veterans Grove. It's going to be a pretty good sized one. In the sense of we're going to have the birthday cake there. We're going to honor our oldest and youngest Marine. National anthem. We're going to march on the colors. It won't last long, probably 30 to 40 minutes, but we will commemorate the birthday of our beloved Corps.
Improvise.
Adapt. And overcome.
And that's what you have to do with your current profession.
Absolutely.
Every day. Rules changing, laws changing. Before we even begin, because we just had One Safe Place on and we were talking about the COVID pandemic, how it emotionally has maybe affected people. What's kind of the uptick, or what are you seeing from your perspective in our community in these last 12 months?
You know, what I'm seeing, you know, from the perspective of the police department, mm-hmm. you know, the effects that COVID has had on staffing, on, you know, anybody in that's considered critical. And the police officers, the sheriff's deputies, the firemen, the dispatchers are not in the business of just, you know, putting a clothes sign up on the door. So it goes on. I mean, they have to be out there. They have to be doing their job. So that's been very taxing on all the agencies here in Shasta County, across the state and across the country, to provide that critical service, you know, nurses and doctors, EMS, everybody on the front line. So it's been challenging. What I've seen from the community, though, is was last year when things were really shut down. It seems like so long ago that
I know
that, I mean, you were supposed to be outside. You were supposed to stay at home. And we didn't have our calls for service. You know, people just weren't out and about doing what people do. You know, there's people weren't getting into traffic collisions. People weren't bumping into other friends out here in front of the studio like they did last week. They weren't fighting out there because they were supposed to be at home. So, but calls have increased, you know, because people are out doing what we expect everybody to do.
But you had less burglaries and car theft because people weren't putting their cars out. And
people
they were
staying
at home, and you know, so nobody's going to break into your house.
People aren't going to the movies, leaving, you know, valuables in their car or leaving things unlocked.
But I think that, you know, the collateral damage of being locked down like that is, we're not going to know for years how bad it is. We do know that it probably cost thousands of lives when it came to medical care, that people were afraid to go be seen and or even get a colonoscopy. But was there like, when you got calls for domestic violence or things like that, because they're locked in, they don't have a job. I mean, it was the perfect storm for something like this to happen.
Yeah, I think domestic violence incidents unfortunately happen. You know, they just happen. They happen, you know, every day, every night. I heard with COVID and that, you know, people that weren't accustomed to being around each other all the time, now all of a sudden are, you know, sharing the same house and around each other. And
24 hours a day,
yeah.
And with kids.
And with, yeah, put that in the equation. And, yeah, that's that could be taxing on a relationship maybe that's already strained.
We're here with Captain Ron Isley. Ron, you just promoted, and they moved you from Shascom, where you were ahead of that and did just great work, hired a bunch of people. Streamlined all the things they were doing, trying to get the computer system to where it was. What are you doing now?
Yeah, so, again, you talked about Shascom. It was a terrific experience and a newfound respect for our brothers and sisters in public safety that work as 911 operators, as dispatchers for our personnel. We sent a lieutenant up there now from the Reading Police Department, Lieutenant Chris Smirnos, who's up there carrying on working with our managers up there. So, no, I've been recently assigned to our detective division.
Uh-huh.
I had to correct myself because we used to be investigators. We are now detectives. So,
is it better being a detective than an investigator?
That depends on who you ask, Carl.
I'm just wondering because, you know, I'm a detective. That's kind of cool. But an investigator is, you know, it has a certain suaveness there.
Yeah. Or an inspector.
Inspector. I like that
one. Harry Callahan.
There you go.
So
the detective division now. So we, the police department, we've always had three divisions, but over the last 10 plus years, we've only had two captains working those three divisions.
And those three divisions are?
Operations, administration, and detectives.
Okay, operations is your day-to-day out in the streets.
Yes, you spoke to Captain Brian Barner, and he runs our operations. So, yes, all the patrol men and women, our neighborhood police unit, our school resource officers, our traffic, all falls under operations.
Okay. We're here with Captain Ron Isley. We're going to take a quick break here. And this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell started her business in 1993 and has been successfully helping families, seniors, veterans, and business owners ever since then. Two separate branches in her office, the insurance branch and the financial advice branch. With all the changes been under COVID and, you know, the stock market doing this, the stock market doing that, I mean, who can keep track of it? Well, Judy's people can. If you want a second opinion on your retirement plan or a 401k, business owners, what about your 401k plans that you have there? Give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation. Give her a call at 221-0441, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We thoroughly trust and endorse. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
After all the jets are in the boxes, and the clowns have all gone to bed, you can hear happiness staggering on down the street. Footprints dressed in.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nurseries open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Football is life. Get in the game. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to catch your favorite team on any of our 16 screens inside seasons. Score with our new Game Grub Buffet.
Free spins. Kickoff for cash and prizes.
Nowhere else in town offers this. More football fun. Play hard. Win easy. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long.
Some people talk football. We live it.
At Wind River Resort and Casino.
Details at windriver.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
At the Wagner Law Group, their goal as a fire victims law firm is to advocate for those who have been victimized by Pacific Gas and Electric Company's negligence. The Wagner Law Group has been rated the number one fire attorney group in Northern California and has low contingency fees. So, if you or your loved ones have been affected by the Dixie or Zog fires, contact the Wagner Law Group today. Call 833-200-7111. That's 833-200-7111.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Bad boys, what you want, what you gonna do?
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot, 8:19 in the morning here on the 6th of October, and it's always good to know what day it is, 61 degrees, mostly cloudy today. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Are you not getting treatment? Are you not getting the proper treatment for a work injury because of denials? Give Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, a call at 262-2168 for a free consultation. Work injuries can be life-changing, and your employer and insurance company have lawyers. You should have one that's going to look out for your interests. So that's Patrick Gorman, 262-2168. Patrick's going to be on the show Friday. And we're going to talk about that, about certain things like that.
Yes.
You know what? We have with us Captain Ron Isley, who heads up the detective division at the Shasta, at Reading Police Department. One of the things that you're facing, and Mike Johnson comes in, of course, from the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, and it's not just endemic here, it's all over the United States, is recruiting for our police departments. And why do you think the problem is? I mean, it used to be you'd have 25, 30 for each position. I mean, the Highway Patrol had, like, they start with 18,000 to get one class. But theirs has gone down by thousands of people wanting to do a job, protecting and serving.
Yeah. I think the last couple of years, I mean, just the national narrative that we're seeing across this country definitely has an effect on the people who we are accustomed to applying for us and coming and wanting to work with us and for us. So that has been a challenge. It's not only at my agency, it's at the other agencies here in Shasta County, it's all across California right now. So getting these young people, this generation to step forward and take on a career like this, it's not what it was, you know, even 5 years ago, even 20 some, almost 20 years ago when I applied, you know, it was a big pool of people that wanted to be police officers here in Reading. But it's still challenging to get in, and it's not for everybody. And maybe that's, you know, what we're seeing too, is that, you know, people might think that, you know, decisions they've made in their life won't allow them to get in this line of work. So a lot of misconceptions about what it takes to be a police officer or sheriff's deputy. It's probably lends to that.
Well, I would think that if you were a young woman or man, that if you had a troubled past and maybe you imbibed or did, you know, whatever you did, that when you're, if you decided to go into the academy and try this line of work, that those people on the other side that are accepting you or helping you to get through it, understand that even gives you more of an idea of what it is to be on both sides of the law.
To a certain degree, yes, for sure. There are, you know, there's thresholds that, you
right.
know, that we have to abide by here in California. But yeah, that you can have someone just with some life experience, you know, be it good or bad.
Right.
Could bring a lot to the table.
Right.
The experience that people gain in the military is, I mean, put them head over heels in an application pool for public safety, in my opinion. So a younger person coming in, you know, they just don't, I like to say, they just don't have all those rocks in their pocket just yet.
Rocks in their pocket.
Yeah.
That's great. And how about, like, like when you, what kind of reception are you getting these days when you go and maybe, I don't even know if they're doing that right now because I'm just not really aware of maybe getting in front of schools, and kids, in high school and talking about, the cadets and bringing kids into the cadet program. What kind of, reception are you getting?
Yeah. And so with the schools, I mean, that's the best part of our school resource officer program is that, I mean, we're embedded at the high schools. We're at the middle schools. So, in fact, this morning, they're walking children to class today. So there's just so much involvement that our school resource officers have that they can have. They have an attentive audience, and they're having that one-on-one interaction. As far as what I remember in high school, assemblies,
right,
you know,
assemblies,
for a police officer to come in. I know the challenges of putting a lot of people in one room over the last year or two has definitely been a challenge. Our cadet program, our explorer program, faced its share of challenges last year. Just they just couldn't meet.
Can you get in front of a class, though? You still can probably go into a classroom. And I'm just wondering what the reception is, because unfortunately with our negative media, in the last 2 years, there's been so many, such bad raps that I'm wondering, like, what are we getting now? What do you feel that you're experiencing now in the public eye?
This community has been terrific, Linda. I mean, if I'm in uniform and a youngster, I mean, they want to wave, they want to come up and talk. They're not concerned about the national narrative. I don't know that their parents are pitching the national narrative to them. It's Redding, it's Shasta County, and this community has just been so supportive of public safety that I worked in Sacramento before I came up here 20 years ago, and I know 20 years ago the reception that I had here in this community blew me away. I mean, it's just not what I experienced
in Sacramento,
not at all. And I have not seen a decline in that since I've been here, and that's my perspective.
That's cool.
Citizens here in this area.
And you know, you're on Facebook Live, so people, if you're watching us on live, you just saw
those lights are in your eyes.
You saw the captain's eyes light up when he said that. So that's a real what?
I just said it's YouTube, not Facebook.
Oh, I mean YouTube. Sorry.
Where is it on YouTube, buddy?
You just look up KCNR Reading.
Okay. So, but if then some people are watching, so you could see that there's no lie there. Your eyes lit up, and I don't know if you knew that, but we should probably tell everybody. Okay, you're on. Anyway, that's great stuff because I grew up in Sacramento. But I've always had. I did a ride along I was 14 or 15, and. You know, I kind of like, I always felt really respect for our law enforcement. And I just think that, you know, I want to make sure kids get it as their, because that's our future leaders. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, get what you guys are doing.
And I think they do, Linda. And I'm not saying Sacramento is a tough town or a bad town at all. I just, some areas that I worked more challenging than the others, I'll say that. You couldn't ask more from a community that we have up here in Redding and Shasta County.
You know, the we run into these things even around here. It's systemic racism on the force. I asked Chief Shuler about that on your recruiting. You know, when you think of systemic racism, you think of an all-white force, tattoos that have got, KKK or something like that on it. That's what I think of systemic racism. Yet you all have reached out to our community to include people of color, all different walks of life. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's not an all-white police force.
No, not at all.
It's not an all-white male police force.
Not at all. In fact, we were in recruit interviews yesterday. We have some more today, and I mean across the spectrum. So not the case at all. An agency in 2021, that's can't be that way. And when I started at the Redding Police Department 20 years ago, it was never that way. So I haven't seen that. I haven't felt that at all from any member of the public ever has talked to me about our fours.
Okay. We're here with Captain Ron Isley, who is heads up the Detective Division at the Reading Police Department. We're going to take a quick break. The police can't be everywhere. And they're and you catch your response time in half. So it's like 7 minutes. But a lot can happen in 7 minutes. Can you protect yourself? Can you protect your home? Northern Firearms Instructions can help you with that. The largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California, teaching in over 46 different locations, numerous instructors. And they have some of the most complete training for your CCW. Or if you don't want to have a CCW, you just want to learn how to use your pistol or your shotgun, there's classes for that. Even with this time of tough times getting ammo, Northern Firearms Instruction can help you with that also. That's Northern Firearms Instruction. Learn more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We'll be right back.
The future's in the air. Can feel it everywhere. I'm blowing with the wind. I'm changing.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now save up to $800 on Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus special financing, only for a limited time. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to an North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit. My family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Good morning and welcome back to our morning show here with our captain of the police force, Ron Isley. Good morning, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio, KCNR1460.com. Well, I stand corrected. I thought we were on on YouTube somewhere in a connection, you know, with changing out equipment like we're always doing. I think maybe they're but this portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by Watson Health, and is fully accredited with the Chest Pain Center. Also is proud of support of downtown Reading, sponsoring many of the downtown-focused events and encouraging our community to shop local.
Yeah, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We're with Captain Ron Isley, heads up the Detective Division of the Reading Police Department. What kind of is there specialized training that police go through to become an investigator, become a detective?
Yes. Yeah, so the detectives currently that we have at the PD, we have major crimes investigators or detectives. We have sexual assault, sexual crimes detectives. We have financial elder abuse detectives. So, yeah, they'll go to specialized training, even the high-tech crime units. A lot of specialized training goes into being able to work those types of cases. So much is learned and gained from experience at the patrol level. They take it up a notch or two when they come over to detectives and allowed to get the time to work those cases, whereas our patrol officers who do a fantastic job of handling those initial cases, investigate them to the extent that they can before they ship them over to detectives. There was a time where, you know, a patrol officer would only take the initial report, like a two-paragrapher, and send it to a detective or an investigator to work. Our staffing levels don't allow for that now, so we rely heavily on our patrol officers to do the work that they do out in the field. And they have the time now to do that. We talked earlier about response times for the police department. With the addition of the community service officers that we have, it gives the patrol officers the time to work those cases, to be proactive, and to do that work that we expect of our patrol officers.
Now, detectives, I mean, I know everything they do. I watched Kojak, and I watched what was that one with Columbo? And those, and all these other ones, they solve them in an hour.
Takes a little longer than that sometimes.
I was going to say, you know, or NCIS, because you've got, obviously got a DNA laboratory right here in the police station that you can get it back in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, just click a button.
Yeah, well, on DNA, because DNA is collecting from, I guess if you've been arrested for a felony, you collect DNA from that person, or do they have to be convicted first?
So normally our convicted, yeah, we have, they're on file. Right. With the Department of Justice.
But if they're, yeah, okay. So how long does it take, say, okay, because we've solved, or y'all solved a cold case on this one. You send off the DNA. How long does it take to get that back?
Months to years almost.
Really?
It takes a long time. And, you know, depending on what the evidence is, you know, how much of it there is, whether or not it's been, you know, contaminated. It's not a click of a button and hit analyze and print out the results like we see on TV.
Nothing. This is the weirdest thing, because I can take a couple of hairs off my paint horse and put it in an envelope and send it to the American Paint Horse Association, and within a week they can tell me her ancestry. Isn't that weird how, I mean, you can do that with an animal, and yet on things like life or death cases, it could take up to a year to get back the information.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm sure there's a triage that happens at the Department of Justice for these cases, you know, because, you know, it's not us. It's, you know, all these agencies in the Bay Area and in Southern California that are all clamoring for these cases to be worked. So there's a lot of talk right now of privatization of DNA analysis and what they can bring to the table and further or more than what the Department of Justice can do. So, and we're looking at that, but you know, with that comes a cost,
right.
It's not cheap, thousands and thousands of dollars to do that. But to be able to, you know, some cases you just have to have that. I mean, that or you're not going to be able to have any workable leads without a DOJ
right.
or without that analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's holding people in perhaps in jail that have been wrongly accused.
Wrongly convicted,
and they don't know because of the DNA holdup if it's false or positive, which is disconcerting. And you can see why there's a lot of things because of being held up by the federal government. People are going to privatization. It makes sense.
Right.
What's the average caseload for your detectives?
Currently, we're down probably 15 to 20 cases. Per, right.
Now, that's. Can you give me an example of cases that y'all are working?
Cases could be, on a commercial burglary, they lifted a fingerprint, and we're just waiting for results to come back on that fingerprint, so that case will stay active until that lead is exhausted. Financial crimes or maybe an elder abuse, you know, we're still waiting on, you know, like a. If a search warrant was issued and we're waiting for data to come back from a financial institution, you know, it just takes time. So my experience when I used to be a detective working cases, and now it's only been 4 short weeks for me, but a detective's division, you know, it ebbs and flows. I mean, we'll get super busy and are working, you know, whatever just happened, and everyone's focused on that. Because currently I have 12 investigators. So, you know, a critical incident or an officer-involved shooting, or it's a vacuum to that whole division, you know, for the moment as we work that. So when we do have, and I'll knock on wood, I'm not saying I have downtime, or my detectives do, but this is the time where they can start managing their cases, you know, and they might need an interview they need to go knock out to finalize a case. So there's no sitting around on with your feet up on the desk waiting for the next case to come in. There's plenty of work to be done.
What about cold cases? Do you have somebody assigned to a cold case? Because that was one of your detectives, wasn't it? That lady had been killed on the trail.
Yeah, so we have a
couple decades ago.
Yeah, so we have our two major crimes detectives at the time had worked that case, resubmitted on DNA evidence. We had nearly done it, or brought back a retired annuitant to just work our cold cases. And really, what I mean by working them is just, you know, blowing the dust off the case, right? And read through it again,
right?
And see maybe
revisit them.
Yeah, what was missed in 1978
with a different set of eyes.
Yeah, and pull out a cassette recorder,
right?
Because that's how the interviews were done back then, and try to figure out, all right, what are we missing here? Because usually it's all right there, and maybe a dot wasn't connected.
Right.
So
I think that's fascinating, and I can imagine there's a niche there where somebody would really like to do that work.
You should farm that out to the public. You know, you got a cold case. And I realize there's probably things you can't do. I had this great idea about helping with the marijuana eradication program. I'll drive a bulldozer. I said, there's a lot of people like me go out there and help with this on illegal grows. But there's a lot of really smart people out there that have time on their hands that, you know, they may be able to connect those dots. But I don't know if it's legal.
Well, I just read something about, I was on Fox News this morning about. is that right? Say that.
Yeah, no. Whatever. You're on Fox News this morning because you just switched over from MSNBC.
Okay, for the moment, I did.
Yes, for the moment. Flip it back and forth.
Apparently, a team of retired cops, or prior intelligence officers from the military identified the Zodiac killer.
You know, I just saw that. Who did they? Who was it?
And it wasn't.
It wasn't who they thought.
It wasn't who they thought. It was a person that just passed away in 2018. So I only got about halfway through it, and
I just saw that. I saw that on one of the headlines, and yeah. I didn't get a chance to look at that.
But there's an example of a new set of eyes, people that aren't law enforcement, aren't currently working in law enforcement, but have come together and opened up a case and reexamined it and started connecting dots. From there was a murder in I think in Riverside that they connected this guy to. So it's out there, and there's people that are capable of doing it. So you're right. There are some smart people out there.
The Case Breakers, a team of more than 40 former law enforcement investigators, journalists, and military intelligence officers, has tackled other mysteries such as the D.B. Cooper hijacking heist, the disappearance of former labor union boss Jimmy Hoffa, and other unsolved cases. The group believes the killer, meaning the Zodiac Killer, is responsible for slaying hundreds of miles away that he was never linked to.
Well, so it can happen.
It can happen.
Well, you know, so I guess it would be, you know, we have authors around here, and we've got a lot of, you know, retired law enforcement and military intelligence around here. That would be kind of cool. Okay, here's the case. What do you all think?
Yeah.
I mean, since it's a cold case, it wouldn't be like your
this is where I'm going to go back to this. The team's years of digging uncovered new forensic evidence and photos from Post's dark room. One image features scars on the forehead of Post that match scars on the sketch of the Zodiac, the team said. Others include deciphering letters sent by the Zodiac that revealed him as a killer. It just goes on and on. It's a great article. In fact, that is off of Fox News. But I went in just to clicked on the Zodiac killer to find out, okay, what is this? And the first thing came up, you know, you have your boxes there and you can do different news outlets. But the headline is Cold Case Team Says Zodiac Killer ID Linking Him to Another Murder. So perfect in what you're talking about, Cold Case Files.
Yeah. Okay, we're with Captain Ron Isley, who is now heading the detective division. You have 12 officers in this?
12 detectives.
12 detectives in this. Okay, 8:45 in the morning, 61 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop is a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments only, 244-9478. Man's Last Stronghold, the only place I've gotten my haircut in Reading. So I just believe they're the best barbershop in Reading. So I can say that. In fact, this week, going down and getting another trim of the hair at Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back.
Haas Farms is now open, and it's family night fall fun for the whole family with a kids' roller coaster, go-karts and bumper cars, pony rides, little bug playland and petting zoo, zip lines and pumpkin cannons. Jump on the Haas Express Railroad train and cruise around the orchard. Family night is every Thursday with free general admission thanks to Sinorama. Haas Farms is now open for all the fall fun and food. Haas Kettle Corn, hot dogs, Moe's Pizza, plus beer and wine for the 21 and over. All haunted attractions are open every Friday and Saturday. The Field of Screams, the Sinister Workshop, and the Zombie Slayer paintball excursions. Come blast some zombies on the Zombie Slayer rides. Special thanks to sponsors Above Board Construction and Roofing, Reading Heating and Air, Sinorama, Reading Harley Davidson, and Only One Benji. All tickets are being sold online this year, so for complete pricing and a schedule of events, get online to HawesFarms.com. That's HawesFarms.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to our Wednesday edition of Free Fire Radio here with Carla Lindabad. 8:50 in the morning. Today is October 6th. It's currently 63 degrees in the downtown studios. We are going to have temperatures of decreasing clouds and high of 74 today and overnight lows of 54.
Weather reports brought to you by
Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793.
We're here with Captain Ron Isley. He's head of the detective division here in Reading Police Department. The number of things that are going on, new ideas that are coming to fruition. The critical response team, I probably got it totally wrong. Critical response team. Or the where you put the mental health professional.
Yeah. Two officers are out working with mental health to.
That started now, right?
It's just getting off the ground.
Okay, so have you had any feedback already?
No, not at my level. I have not. But I know we've been excited about getting that program started, getting the officers trained, working with the clinician to go out there and do that type of work.
The idea that. Having a mental health professional there is a great idea. However, the police on the beat know all of these guys and girls. They know them by first name. They know which ones are have a tendency to be violent and the tendency just to be screwed up. And it's usually caused by mental health problems, but that can be caused by drugs, overdosing, or not being on medications, or
and a number of things, lifelong substance abuse sometimes gets to that point. But, you know, the adage is it's 10% of the population, 9% of the time for a patrol officer. So the people in this community that need that assistance, they're not foreign to the police department. And it's just getting them that resource and getting them that help. And them accepting that help is the challenge, and that's the whole thought process behind this program, is to take a different approach, to come in there with a different stance, to try to get them the help that they need.
Have you ever thought about, I had to throw this in because I'd like to do this to Ron, because he's a fellow Marine. Things off the wall.
Things off the wall.
A mounted police unit in Reading.
Oh,
think about that. I mean, we've got...
I thought we had one at one time.
No,
we don't. Or was that Sheriff's Posse?
That's the Sheriff's.
Okay.
To patrol the river trails. Just a thought.
I always try to sit here and war game what you're going to throw at me, Carl, and I was not expecting a mammoth horse unit.
Okay, I just...
Only because we have horses
well,
now,
the reason is we're going to have a guest on that wrote the primer, wrote the thing, the book on mounted police and, you know, training and how they're used and all that. And I thought about it for Reading, and it would be primarily, I realize now, that when it comes down to the cost of it, that it would cost us a couple of police on the ground. And I figured that would never happen here because of that, even though it would have a lot of pluses. But when you get right down to it, you all are still having problems with putting people on the ground.
Yeah, well, problems or challenges
I
should
say.
We like to look at them, but Captain Cole or our two sergeants in administration are doing a fantastic job getting people into our pipeline. We have, I believe it's seven that might be coming out, or seven recruits that should be coming out of the academies here by the end of the year. And looking to put more in the beginning of next year. And, you know, there was a time where, you know, most of our hiring at the Reading Police Department was lateral police officers or police officers from other agencies. And we're just not seeing that as much anymore. So it's a long-term investment, but it's if it works out, these are young people come mm-hmm. in and can work for our agency for a number of years.
Okay. The when we see events that happen, like let's say the rodeo, is that like a all hands event? Because of the crowds and everything.
Not an all hands, but we staff it appropriately. We weeks prior we'll put out for the overtime to get the officers there to assign personnel to make sure. Everyone is safe in an event like that. All hands situations could be, a fire. Like when a fire threatens uh-huh. Reading, that's when we get everybody in for those things. And our staff at the Reading Police Department has always been terrific in that aspect. When there's a call, they'll come in, and they have to, and they know what their responsibility is to this community and to our citizens.
The police, when you get to, we've used the armored vehicle twice in the last couple of weeks. What is the caveats for using what is that? It looks like
a Bearcat.
Yeah. Okay. And that is a wheeled armored vehicle. What is the criteria for using
that? We used it actually twice this weekend.
And okay. Well, I knew it's been used.
Yeah, it's a terrific asset for the police department and for the community because it can keep people safe. It keeps our officers safe when they go into a situation or to environments where firearms are involved or there's a great threat to safety of not only citizens but to the officers. So it just allows us to make a safe approach and to handle the situation. In a way that we're not putting our officers in any kind of jeopardy. So
yeah.
It's a great addition to our.
It's also a really good way of getting people that are down in the I guess you can say the beaten zone right there, putting that between the shooter and so you can get a victim out.
And we did that just a few months ago on Sherman Creek where we had a victim that we had to get out. You can't have an ambulance or a paramedic crew run in with the threat of gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an acceptable risk.
Yeah, that's not part of their job.
No, that's not part of their job. So that vehicle to be able to transport a patient in that out of a scene, I mean, that's what it's for.
I the public can't do this because, and I understand why. It would be great just to see the detectives at work sometime. Now, I heartily recommend that everybody go on a ride-along. You go down there when they're having their meeting, and then you hop into a car with a trained professional. And you get to see what they do. And it's unbelievable the things that you see that night. Even when it's a quiet one, but all the things that happen during that tour of duty.
Yeah.
It's How do people sign up for something like that?
So we've always had a robust ride-along program at the Reading Police Department. Just like, unfortunately, and I hate to do it, but blame COVID for challenges and problems that we've had. But uh-huh. our ride-along program to this point, we're not doing it only for rare exceptions. We put somebody out with the officers right now just because of what's going on with COVID. So our hope is, you know, to get the community out with us once the threat diminishes somewhat, to get people out. Because it is important for people to see, because it's not what you read on the internet or hear on the radio or see on the news. I mean, like you said, you can't make some of these things up.
No, it's just terribly boring, punctuated by seconds of intense activity.
Sure.
At times. Okay. Well, Ron, thanks so much for being with us today. And again, congratulations on your promotion. It's a well-deserved.
Thank you, Carl.
And now you get to solve all the crimes, and it can be laid at your door. And any types of problems can be laid to your door, just like any commander, right? And you're used to that. You've commanded Marines. Is there a difference? Quickly, what's the biggest difference between commanding Marines and being in command of police?
Well, I tell you, when I was commanding Marines,